This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking the greater Oahu. The lead stories are NASA renames building after Katherine Johnson. Apple is closing stores in East Texas. And a tragic story about Facebook trauma employees. Microsoft is defending their U.S. military contract. I want to welcome you to episode 1349 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, February 25th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all our new listeners and viewers from around the world. Thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in. If this is your very first time checking out the podcast, this is a great opportunity for you to get connected with the Ohanans and become part of the family here. All you got to do is visit the website at geeknewscentral.com. When you get over to the website, get subscribed to the show. It's real easy via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or use the RSS feed. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just click on the more subscription options. That'll give you the insider information on how to get connected. Of course, while you're on the website, we want you to get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today, with all the links leading back to the source articles. You can subscribe to the show via your Apple TV, or you can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and almost universally say, play the podcast Geek News Central. Our live show, we're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Mixer, Twitch, where else? A couple other places, live stream. So we're live on the all around the world on all the variety of services. So you can, when we're live, you can catch us live. Of course, again, the video will be published and put up and made available as a podcast along with the audio as well. You can join our chat room. Our chat room is a Mastodon chat server over at geeknews.chat. Or if you don't want to hang out on the Mastodon server, you can join our Slack channel by sending me an email to geeknews@gmail.com and let me know that you want to be part of our Slack Ohana. So you can be a slacker over there with us and hang out with cool kids. That's the place to be. Of course, you can send me an email. Again, always at geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at geeknews. Or, of course, follow me on Facebook. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at Geek News Central, would be the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and, of course, the Podcast Legend Show. So definitely check out all the sister and brother shows, I guess you want to say, at Geek News Central. Of course, you can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show's longtime sponsors, of course, are good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a sponsor of this show since June of 2005. Been here supporting me, allowing me to do what we do or what I do and what the team does. And I'm really happy again for all of your, and appreciative of all of your longtime support of GoDaddy. But we're fast approaching the end of February. I have no idea where we are sales-wise for the end of the month, but don't forget about our offers. Our offers are just really purely incredible. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchased, whether it be get a new .com for 99 cents, whether it be the $1 a month economy hosting or a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, $1 a month, that's 12 bucks. Get you started. And that includes a free domain. So the domain itself is worth $8.49 retail. So, you know, $350 are good, right? And you get you a whole year of hosting. You just really cannot beat this deal. Of course, business owners, that 1 month free trial GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. Again, all my codes are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go to get the links to click on to lock in the code or grab the promo code right off the webpage and paste it in the promo code spot when you get ready to check out. Many of you forget about the 30% off code. So let's say you've gotten a hosting account, all right? And you've got your free domain and you decide later maybe to add mailing list software, or you decide to participate and you have a couple of domains you want to sell on auction or whatever it may be, use that 30% off code. Now, the 30% off code really doesn't make the show any money. It's just a way for you to save cash. And really, that is the key there, that we want you to have continued savings as you're picking up products and services over at GoDaddy. And don't forget, all my codes are at geekneycentral.com/GoDaddy. And again, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, so let me just kind of get you guys caught up here. I hate to say it. Taxes. I've had an issue. And Sunday, I'm going through all my paperwork. Here's what I have. I've got checking account. I've got credit card statements. I've got PayPal. So all that has to be brought together. And I'll be honest with you, I'm one to kind of like lump it all together at the end. And I got done to the end and my numbers were off. And comparing some W-2s I have sitting here, I'm like, where am I missing? And I'm looking for a check, going through the statements. And then I finally found a number. I'm like, okay, what was that? And I said, I'm missing a paper. So it turned out I was missing a payroll paper from my accountant. And of course, this was Sunday and she is not working on Sunday. So I emailed Wendy and I said, Wendy, I'm missing May's payroll paperwork. Can you send that? And she sent it over and I was like, cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste. And all of a sudden, the balance sheets balanced out. Everything went to zeros the way it was supposed to go. It's like balance your checkbook, right? And, it was weird enough of amounts with taxes withheld and all that other stuff that I was scratching my head for a while. So I think I'm done. I'm done and ready to finally turn in the corporate taxes, and not a moment too soon because those are due on March 10th. So, yeah, it sucks. It really does. It really, really sucks. Of course, Saturday we had a new media show, well attended. It was nice to be back in the studio doing that. And then just things around here. I told you guys that the time was going to go fast, right? And we're Monday. My brain is already thinking about like Saturday and Sunday things that are going to be happening. And, I'm already like, I got to pack my suitcase again. And it just craziness, the amount of travel. So Thursday will be a regular show. Mike and I have to record your podcast Thursday morning. And then Friday by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm back out of here, heading towards Orlando. So, pretty busy, busy week. And I'm just got stuff kind of sorted in piles here in the studio. You can't see it. For those of you listening, obviously not. For those of you watching, you can see what everything looks like, but I have everything kind of like scoped in here. Not only that, working on a presentation. What else I have to do? It's just a lot of nitpicky stuff. And I'm kind of I think you guys kind of know this. I'm a little bit of a procrastinator. A little, just a little. I hate being that way, but there's so much stuff going on. I kind of prioritize stuff in segments, and if I get caught up and get ahead, I'm good. But if I'm not, it comes to the last minute and something else gives. It's just kind of the way I am. And then not only that, I had a 1099 that came back from one of the folks that did some work in the summer, and I was emailing because I get this return to sender 1099, and I'm like, so I emailed the individual and say, hey, I got your 1099. I'm praying he hasn't done his taxes already, but got in contact with the family and got the new address and So anyway, got the digital copy over. So just kind of stuff like that. And then a lot of stuff going on in the business space. I'm expecting a big, big article to pop that one of my team members did an interview on last week. And it'll probably consume a day, consume a full day. And then also in the back of my mind, I'm marching towards this, like, this line in the sand where this studio gets tore down, puts in a box, and shipped out of here. You know, it's, you know, even though it's February, it's like right around the corner, March, April, end of May, get 3 months left before Bon Voyage. You know, first week of June, I should be jetting towards the East Coast, and the remaining stuff in the studio is, and you know, all my stuff is packed up and heading, you know, to the West Coast to be transshipped across America. So yeah, just a lot of insanity going on. And at some point, it probably happened mid-May, this show will go audio only, because at some point I'll have to tear down and box this thing up. This is going to take a 3 days just to get this studio packed up correctly and safely, and all the boxes out of storage to get everything so nothing arrived smashed. And so, you know, and then load it. And so we'll go to audio only. We'll be audio only for a couple of months, probably starting in mid-May, late May to, I would expect not to be back up video-wise until end of July or even August. So yeah, it's a big, big change coming. You guys, we've talked about it a lot already. But anyway, let me go ahead and get into the content. I'm a little hyper tonight. Can you guys tell? And I was even talking about it tonight at the family. I'm just like ping pong balling around. It's crazy. So let me get into the stack. First things first, NASA. This, you know, how many of you have watched the Hidden Figures movie? If you have not watched the Hidden Figures movie, I've watched it twice, and I don't watch movies twice very often. Great movie. Great, great movie. But NASA's it centers around women of color who, in the 60s, were labeled as computers. They were called computers, and they were mathematicians, brilliant mathematicians. And, but they did these just incredible mathematical checking and developing formulas and just doing incredible things. And at the time, remember the 60s, right? And first of all, number one, women in the workplace, let's just say it frankly, white women in the workplace weren't treated very well. And then you have women of color working in the workspace, probably being treated even worse. And yet these women were doing these remarkable, remarkable jobs and being mathematicians and really getting our rockets into orbit. And then later on, work to get them all the way to the moon and back. And so anyway, today, NASA's honored the mathematician who worked in space exploration for over 30 years and renamed a building after Katherine Johnson. And which building did they rename? Does it say? Here's a look at NASA's Katherine Johnson Independent Verification Validation Facility in Fairmont, West Virginia. So that's where they named. Of course, in 2017, when Johnson was 97, President Obama awarded her America's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And she had retired from NASA in 1986. But it's a nice honor, long, 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 long overdue here. But anyway, good job on NASA for doing that and recognizing her pioneering work. All right, moving on here. Apple is shutting down stores in East Texas. Now, we've talked about East Texas a lot during this show. And East Texas, the Eastern District of Texas, is where all the patent trolls go to have their cases heard. And of course, the courts over there are just love doing litigation. Well, Apple has decided to close all of its stores too in the Eastern District of Texas. But kind of interesting, Apple's opening a new store right on the boundary of the Eastern District of Texas. So why are they doing this? Well, if you don't have a business, a physical brick and mortar business in Eastern Texas, it's a little harder based upon some of the things that have been said in the court systems recently, some rulings that if you have to sue them in a district or somewhere where they have a physical location. So this is going to help them a little bit here. And it's about venue. And Apple is not taking any chances. It's closing these two stores and moving out of the Eastern District of Texas. A loss for Texas people that live in Texas, but probably a win for Apple as they try to minimize their exposure, quote unquote, to the patent trolls, which have cost them, well, maybe rightly so, or maybe rightly wrongly. Is that even a word? A lot of money over the years. You know, one thing I read today, and I'll be frank, I couldn't get through this whole article. And it's an expose by The Verge, and it's called The Trauma Floor, The Secret Lives of Facebook Moderators in America. And I just want to read two paragraphs. Actually, let me read three paragraphs. And this is going to give you an indication of how hard this was to get through. And again, this is directly from the Verge article. It starts off by saying the panic attack started when Choli watched a man die. She spent the past 3.5 weeks in training trying to harden herself against a daily onslaught of disturbing photos, the hate speech, the violent attacks, the graphic pornography. In a few more days, she would become a full-time Facebook content moderator, or what the company she works for called a professional service vendor, or what the company she works for, a professional service vendor named Cognit, opaquely calls a process executive. For this portion of her education, Choli will have to moderate a Facebook post in front of her fellow trainees when it's her turn. She walks to the front of the room where a monitor displays a video that has been posted to the world's largest social network. None of the trainees have seen it before, Choli included. She presses play. The video depicts a man being murdered. Someone is stabbing him dozens of times while he screams and begs for his life. Choli's job is to tell the room whether this post should be removed. She knows that Section 13 of the Facebook Community Standards prohibits a video depicting the murder of one or more people. When Choli explains this to class, she hears her voice shaking. Now, I think of the best of days. If any of us saw a video of someone being murdered and being stabbed multiple times while screaming and begging for his life, I think we all would be traumatized. Returning to her seat, she feels an overpowering urge to sob. Another trainee has gone up to review his next post, but Choli cannot concentrate. She leaves the room and begins to cry so hard that she has trouble breathing. No one tries to comfort her. This is a job she is hired to do. And for the 1,000 people like Choli monitoring content for Facebook at the Phoenix site, and for the 15,000 content reviewers around the world today, it's just another day at the office. And these people get paid around $35,000 a year, or $15 an hour, to sit and watch this horrific content that I don't think any of us, the majority of us, would ever in our lifetimes volunteer to do. having been active duty and been in a war zone and seeing the impacts of what war does, I can't imagine having to be exposed to that on a day in, day out basis. And I'm sure that's not a regular occurrence to be watching someone getting killed. But with the amount of content being put up by terrorist organizations and a variety of other sources of content and videos and propaganda and you name it, it would probably drive the majority of us insane in a very, very short order. And these folks are rode hard by the management. Employees can be fired after making just a handful of errors a week. Employees been found having, oh my God. So employees have been found having sex inside stairwells in a room reserved for lactating mothers and what one employee describes as trauma bonding. Moderators cope with seeking traumatic images and videos by telling dark jokes about suicide and smoking weed during breaks to numb their emotions. Employees are developing PTSD-like symptoms after they leave the workplace, and they're no longer eligible for psychological support when they are no longer employed by Facebook or Cognizant. Employees begin to embrace fringe viewpoints of videos and memes that they're supposed to moderate. The Phoenix site is home to a flat earther, a Holocaust denier, and a former employee tells us he no longer believes the 9/11 was a terrorist attack. These are just some of the things the Verge folks found by interviewing a variety of people on the condition of anonymity. What have we become? And can any of us that listen to this show for a moment even imagine having to do this for a job and to be paid on average, $28,000 a year. While the average Facebook employee that doesn't moderate content has a total compensation package of $240,000 a year. So I cannot even imagine. I really can't. But this is going on in a lot of places, Reddit, Facebook, Twitter, any place where people are posting content. It's a grim reminder of the price, the human price, the human damage that's being done by people that have to moderate the grime and filth that is put on these social media sites. It just seems to me at some point we should be able to have machine learning. This should be able to eliminate some of this, but I don't know if that's possible. So it's a long article. I just don't know. I couldn't get through the whole thing. But there's a follow-up article over on Engadget, where Facebook says it has work to do improving moderator job conditions. When I hear that statement, and with little or no compassion, in my opinion, just a comment by Facebook, it makes you start to see Facebook, I hope, in a little different light. And while we all enjoy being on Facebook and, you know, I have to be on it a lot more than I care to be. And we talked about the other day how my mom was being exposed to news and she could hardly handle it anymore because it was repeating and on and on and on. We have to be careful of these social media networks. We have to protect our well-being. I want everyone to really think about this. Do you feel yourself being more anxious Do you feel your sight have a heightened sight of distress? Is it adding stress to your life? Or can you actually relax when you go on Facebook? This constant in our face, I think, has to give at some point. I wonder if we're all going to have permanent psychological damage by the onslaught of stuff that's being put in front of us. Do you feel that way? Do you feel yourself tuning out? Do you have no digital days? Do you have days where you have no digital stuff? Try it. If you haven't, try to go a whole weekend. Get home from work on Friday at 4 p.m., 5 p.m., whenever you get home, 6. Take your phone, shut your phone off, shut your computer off, and watch some TV, watch some movies, read a book. But don't check your email. Don't get on social media. See if you can do it all weekend. And then on Monday, when you get ready to roll out and you're in a panic because you haven't checked your digital stuff or catching up, reflect on how you felt about being offline digitally for the weekend. And let me know how it went. Could you even go an hour without checking your phone? This stuff, these phones are worse than crack cocaine. They're worse than that. And I think we all have to start trying to disconnect and moderate our Facebook utilization. You know, I found myself yesterday, and it was some of it last week too, because I was on Facebook and I have to monitor about 5 or 6 different podcasting groups. And I spent a lot of time, I guess for a better word, going out and trying to guide podcasters into making correct choices about starting their show. Because so often podcasters, they don't read anything anymore. New podcasters, they just jump in with both feet and they're in a rush to get started. And I understand they're excited, but they do oftentimes irreparable harm to their show by not starting really on a good foot. And I really find myself trying to, but there's so many people coming in the space, it's impossible for me to keep up. And then some folks will come in and say, why are you saying that? Why are you making that comment? And then I have to explain myself. And going to great lengths to explain myself because no one understands. They haven't thought it through. And so I spent a lot of time doing that. And my frustration level was really, really high at the end of the day on Friday. And I was talking with Rob on it on the New Media Show. I feel like this tsunami. And I think I posted something on Facebook about it. I feel like this tsunami of posts being made and you're trying to stick your finger in a dam or whatever, try to plug the holes, and you just can't do it. And you can't save them all. And sometimes they don't listen anyway. But so for me, I get this, sense of frustration. I have to because then I want to get, then my attitude changes and I start getting argumentative on Facebook and it comes through the keyboard, you know, and it's not good. So you're like, walk away, go have a glass of wine, you know, take it easy. So I think here what we need to really think about as adults, if it's affecting us, what's this doing to our kids? You know, what are our kids getting exposed to? Instagram. And I found my son the other day, I spoke to him and I said, I need your help. And he gave me some lip and I was like, whoa. Walked in the bedroom and he was on something, watching something. And I said, that can wait for 15 minutes, right? And he's looking at me. He sees I'm serious. He says, yeah. I said, it pause. I said, it'll be there when you get back. What are you watching anyway? And he showed me some surf video. But he gave me lip because he didn't want to interrupt the surf video to come help me. And I'm like, all right, let's next day, let's do a, let's do a phone break, okay? So if it's affecting my kids, it's affecting yours. So I think that, and if these, God forbid, these moderators, what they have to read and look at, it's just, to me, is shocking. But I've spent a lot of time on this, and then we've had this reoccurring theme about privacy, location tracking, all the stuff that's been coming out. And yet most of us get sucked right back in on a daily basis. So that crack cocaine that Facebook's putting out there is doing a pretty good job sucking us back in. Maybe that's what we should start calling it, crackbook. Not facebag, crackbook. All right, I'll move on here. I don't want to kill a dead horse. Microsoft is defending the U.S. military contract that some employees say are crossing the line. And I will have to applaud Microsoft for not folding here. Satya Nadella has defended Microsoft's $479 million contract to supply augmented reality systems to U.S. military that has been criticized by some of his colleagues. The CEO said Monday that while he would continue to engage with employees and consider Microsoft's role as corporate citizens, the company would not withhold technology from democratic governments. And I was like, whoa. Wow, finally, a company has stood up and said, no, we are going to support and we're going to fulfill our contract. He said, we made a principal decision that we're not going to withhold technology from institutions that we have elected in democracies to protect the freedoms we enjoy, he told CNN Business at Mobile World Congress. We were very transparent about the decision. We'll continue to have that dialogue with employees, he added during the exclusive interview. I was like, wow, finally someone has been able to stand up and say, no, this is, we are an American-based company. We have technology that our Defense Department can use to save lives, I'm sure, and whatever other purposes. I was like, yes. When are we going to hear more of this? When are we going to hear more? I just finally a corporation has stood up and said, we're going to continue, and a small minority of employees who complained about this, the 100 Microsoft employees that were against this military contract, finally someone has stood up. I find this to be very bold and very encouraging. I know some of you, politics do not fall in line with this, but for me, this is I'm very happy to hear, and this Microsoft just went up a notch in my book based upon this statement. Would Apple have done the same thing? We know that Google folded on some of their stuff, right? They rolled over. So good on Microsoft. Good on them. And good decision. Now, this is going to come as a shock. I bet you some rich guys out there are going to be like wanting to smack Bill Gates. But Bill Gates says he should have to pay more in taxes. Now, how much taxes do you think Bill Gates has paid? Bill Gates says he's paid $10 billion in taxes, but you'd have to pay more on capital gains. He said on Monday on a 7th Reddit Ask Me Anything event on the popular social media platform, he said, if people want the government to do more, it needs to be funded. And I see us needing to improve our education and health services. A key element is making capital gains taxation more like ordinary income. Some have suggested making them the same. and having an estate tax more like we had in the past with 55% tax rate of capital gains above $3.5 million. Now, I thought, whoa, of course, he's got more money than like almost everyone, right? What's he like, number two, number three in the world rich? But what do you think he thought our biggest threats are to humanity? Do you think it's greenhouse gases, global warming? What do you think his number one, number two threats to humanity are right now? You're never going to believe it. Gates said terrorism and bioterrorism rank number one his concern. Then climate change comes in second. Terrorism and bioterrorism. No one talks about bioterrorism. No one. We've talked about it on this show, right? CDC stuff. He says it's disconcerting to see a rise of countries turning inwards and not investing in alliances which have helped us avoid big war since World War II. It's true. So interesting move here. He wants the rich people to pay more. He's not going to win no friends there. Google and Verily, V-E-R-I-L-Y, are using artificial intelligence to screen patients for diabetic eye conditions. For those of you that are diabetic or those of you that are type 2 diabetics, the algorithm used in a real-world clinical setting for the first time in India. So they're using machine learning to screen for diabetic retinopathy and diabetic macular edema. Now, for those of you that are type 2 diabetics, you're supposed to get an eye exam twice a year, right? And make sure your optometrist knows about your diabetes. If you haven't told your optometrist about your diabetes, you need to make an appointment and make sure you tell him so, because he'll run extra tests on you. Make sure that you're not going to go blind from your diabetes, all right? If you didn't know this already, you should have known about this, all right? So I go get an eye exam twice a year, and my optometrist knows about my type 2 diabetes. So you have to pay attention to this. But people in third world countries don't have as much good medical information and have as many experts. So this new system basically can detect it, and then a proper treatment can be done. In India, several cases of DR are undiagnosed because of the shortage of more than 100,000 eye doctors and a lack of screening for the 66 million diabetics. The company said the machine learning could help more people get the appropriate screenings. So, of course, so good on it. Outstanding. Link will be up in the show notes. All right, next up, Verizon says phone sale fraud is up and wants to lock new phones for a short period to fight it. Now, Verizon, in part of their licensing agreement to get the 700 megahertz spectrum, they had to agree to some open access rules. And basically, they were required to sell phones unlocked that had the 700 megahertz access from day one. So what they're finding is people are coming in with false identities, with false IDs, getting a phone on a plan or adding a phone to someone else's plan, walking out of the store. And because they are not a real person and they've got it with no money down, they sell the phone and Verizon loses money to the tune of about 7,000 phones a month are being essentially stolen. So Verizon wants the ability to put a 60-day temporary lock on the 4G LTE handsets it provides to ensure that they are purchased by a bona fide customer. And this targeted 60-day period will enable Verizon to determine whether a new device was obtained by a legitimate customer who makes the first payment on the device and that the payment clears processing. So locking the devices will prevent easy resale. So AT&T does a 14-day temporary lock. So this is good. Now, overseas travelers could be affected. Some folks will need an unlocked phone. So when they leave, they buy a new phone, they put a new SIM in at their next spot. They want to be able to switch SIMs on a dime. So people like that would probably have to pay for their phone outright. But anyway, they've got a big issue here that they're trying to fix. There's a good article here on how to, and it's related to that trauma of the moderation staff. If you want to report something, there's ways to do that. And there's a link in the show notes today on how you can report content that you think is wrong or shouldn't be on Facebook. Target is announcing the launch of its curated third-party marketplace card, Target Plus. So, unlike Amazon, where a seller can apply to join Amazon's or Walmart's marketplace, there's no such process for joining Target Plus. Instead, Target explains that each partner is carefully selected, then invited into the program, a move it hopes will keep the quality high. Target has high quality goods. I thought Target and Walmart were about the same. I will admit, I think I've been in a Target store one time in the past year or two. And I've probably been in a Walmart twice, maybe three times in the past year. So, not super familiar with the products that Target sells, but they are inviting companies that have like STEM learning toys and stuff that is more higher end. So those of you that are Target fans, Target Plus is launched and available to you. All right, so there's a good website that Kirk has turned me on to. We've had some articles from it recently. It's called thedumblittleman.com. Tips for life, dumblittleman.com, tips for life. And these are 13 online banking security tips you should know about. And most of you already know. Don't use a public Wi-Fi network to do your banking. More importantly, number two, enable two-factor authentication. And don't click emails you get from people saying, hey, we need you to log into your account. So anyway, there's those are some of the like the first three are pretty obvious, but there's a full list of 12 that you can check out. Share these with your friends, family members, people that put weird stuff on Facebook that, you know, lead you down the path of like, you know, you get those. We all have a family member where we have to like, Auntie, please go to Snopes and look at this article, or this is fake. Can you take this down? We all have our relatives that post stuff sometimes that we go, oh man, really? So share these types of articles with them. Okay. I know you guys are already up to speed. You know, you wouldn't be geeks listening to the show if you weren't. So we have to help those around us that aren't as technologically inclined. And I can't even speak tonight. All right. California wants Silicon Valley to pay you a data dividend. The Golden State thinks tech companies should share the wealth. So it isn't a secret that Google, Facebook, and the rest of the internet collects everything they can about you and then tries to sell it to anyone that will take the information. But California Governor Gavin Newsom thinks that there might be a better relationship. Charge companies to use your information and give some of the benefit back to you. He calls it a data dividend. So he said this during his State of the State speech on February 12th. The idea of paying consumers for the data, either by letting them sell it or by taxing companies for the money made by using personal data, isn't entirely new. Academics have kicked the plan around or the idea around for decades, and Washington State tried to pass a similar plan in 2017. So they're going to introduce legislation, and it's a bill that's very near completion. It's called Common Sense Media. They put it together. It's the same organization that spearheaded California Student Online Personal Information Act of 2014, and they've come up with a bill that they hope will be submitted soon. How much do you think your data is worth? What would you take in trade for your privacy? What would companies be willing to pay? $1, $2, $3, $4 a year? What are you worth? Well, a lot of these IPOs say that each customer is worth $50, $60, $70, $80, $100, $200 a year. That's what the value they put on you, not on what you're going to buy, but the data they collect about you that they sell to people that you are going to be targeted with and stuff that you're going to buy. So what do you think your data is worth? What would you be willing to sell it for? What do you think these companies are going to give this money away for free? I don't think so. You know, my company doesn't use any, we use no personalized information. We don't, nothing. That's, we're GDPR compliant. So I don't track you that listens to this show right now. I'm not tracking you to anything that you're doing. With the exception, I know you downloaded this show. I know your device did. I don't know you did. All right. The only way I know it was you is if you fill out a demographic survey, which we haven't run in a long time, that when you tell me voluntarily about you. So I guess the podcasting space is the only sphere that's being, it's kind of pure at this point, but I don't know how long that's going to last. All right, 7 Apple hardware discounts you should take advantage of. And of course, Apple Give Back, they have a trade-in program. They'll let you trade in old devices. You can get some money either back in the form of an Apple Store gift card or putting that refund towards the purchase of a new device. So right now, you get for your iPhone 8, and you want to upgrade. Is it? Oh, it's cheaper. Price of phone XR with the. Okay, here's the deal. So if you trade in an iPhone 8 and you want to get an iPhone XR, it's $18.99 per month or $449 with the trade-in, or $29.99 a month or $6.99. That is with the trade-in. So it's XS. So excuse me. So if you go to an iPhone 6, they give you about, it's not as a good a deal because it's an older phone, but you can get an iPhone XR for $5.99 or XS for $8.49. So a little bit of a discount. If your phone is in relatively good shape, has minimal wear and tear, it all again depends on the condition of it. Don't forget about education and government discounts. Don't forget about a company discount. If you have a company, did you know you go apply as a registered company? So my company, Podcast Connect, I get 10% off just by having a business. I get 10% off most products and services over there. If you're a government employee, it's 10 or 15%. Education, if you're a student, again, a modest discount as well. Don't forget about Black Friday and Apple certified refurbished units. That's what my mom and sister bought. They bought iMacs that were certified refurbished with 3-year warranties. There's also third party refurbished units out there as well. How many of you do a lot of editing of your photos? I think our kids do, you know, if they're going to post something to Instagram or Spotify or whatever, they're using filters and, you know, all kinds of hinges and, you know, a blue hinge or, you know, whatever it may be, and, or hues or whatever their tricks are. If you want to learn what your kids are doing, I have an article from makeuseof.com that will get you up to speed on how to make your photos look a little better, and you can practice on some stock images. Next up, you got someone that's looking to do some coding. Well, the 6 best laptops for programming and coding are being announced. And this is, and I'm a little suspicious about these types of reviews because I don't know if there's some sort of incentive here, but they've got my favorite, Dell XPS 13. I don't know from a coding standpoint. I don't think some coders will like that keyboard. I love the keyboard, but coders are more, at least the ones I'm around, they all have keyboards on their desks, like regular full-size clackety-clack keyboards. Then, of course, they've the MSI, some gaming laptops, and MacBook Pro. I think the office, my office in Columbus, they're split. I think I've got two on MacBooks and everyone else on PCs as far as the coders go. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that, and maybe the coders out there can weigh in. World's fastest 1 terabyte micro SD card was revealed at MWC at the Mobile World Conference. It can cost you a whopping $450. Wow. But it's a terabyte of storage on a micro SD card. If you're a Chrome user, there's a good extension to help you organize your browsing and basically clean up the history, and it's called Cluster. Because most of our screens are definitely a cluster. Beep. So it's a good name for an extension. And it can help you synchronize, and it's a nice little plug-in, a nice extension. So definitely check it out. Link is up in the show notes for you. Also announced at MWC, the Galaxy Watch Active could be one of 2019's best smartwatches. And of course, they announced the Galaxy Fold and all that stuff. But this is a pretty nice watch. And again, it has got Android on board. It's a Galaxy Watch Active. So if you haven't seen this thing, it's pretty nice. Nice design. Doesn't look like it's looks like it's a regular watch, but of course it's a digital face. There's an AMOLED display. There's a heart rate monitor. There's an NFC chip that enables Samsung Pay or up to 50 meters of water resistance. It's got a built-in GPS, multi-day battery. Ding, 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 multi-day battery. So I think my Apple Watch goes about 2 days now, or I can get about 30 hours. Hours of active wearing on it. All right, there's a SanDisk Ultra 3D 500 gig drive on sale right now for $57.99. Again, I do not recommend the SanDisk drives for laptops. They're great for storage, but I don't recommend them from a performance standpoint. The Samsung 850 EVO is still SSD out there that I really recommend. This Ultra 500 gigs is a little bit slower than the Samsung 850. You're going to pay more for the Samsung 850, but I'm really a big fan of that line of drives. If you're a Instagram user, there's a bunch of investment scams going on. This is an article from the BBC. Victims aged in their 20s each lost an average of 8,900 pounds after falling for investment scams that appear on image sharing platform Instagram. Some 356 reports of losses have been made in the past 5 months. Those tricked lost a collective of more than 3 million pounds. Reports of fraud. Now, how are they doing this? The scams see schemes advertised via an Instagram app. Those targeted encouraged to transfer 600 pounds or promise almost instantaneous profit. Once the money is paid, they're sent images supposedly of the profits building up in their accounts. Oh, so they send them images of the, oh my gosh, of their growth. And then, of course, when they say, oh, I want to pull my money out, guess what? It's gone. Wow. Sending them pictures of their investment growth. That's a good one. Don't invest through some link you get on Instagram. This article I almost didn't cover, but Google Assistant is sliding into the Android messaging app. And they say it's pretty useful, but not that intrusive. And Google's continuing its mission to put Assistant everywhere. And it's not just trying to stuff its digital helper in various hardware, but in more apps. The company already inserted Assistant in the map apps, which it officially unveiled at CES. So if you're a fan of Assistant, I'll have the link up for you to take a look at that. You guys hear about that airplane that crashed in Texas? Did you know that was an Amazon Prime air flight? Well, the Boeing 767, owned and flown by a cargo outfit called Atlas Air, as flight number 5Y3591 is said to enter an unexpected nosedive round from around 6,000 feet while on a scheduled cargo run between Miami Airport and Houston George Bush International. No dangerous cargo was declared in the manifest, but this was under contract for Amazon. And no reports how or why this crash happened. But anytime something's carrying cargo, if you suffer when they load cargo on an airplane, they have to do weight and balance. Because you put too much weight in the front, essentially the nose can't get off the ground. You put too much weight in the tail and the airplane would like to really fly really early, but you can't push the nose down. So you have to have the weight actually balanced throughout the aircraft. And when I was flying in even the smallest airplanes, King Airs, the weight and balance was pretty critical on an airplane. I had a max weight in the back. I had a zero fuel weight. I couldn't go over. And depending on where we were flying, you're like, say, flying out of Denver, I had all kinds of weight restrictions to make sure the airplane could get off the air and that we wouldn't crash upon takeoff. So oftentimes when I hear about cargo airplanes crashing, I always think the worst, as if maybe a heavy part of the load got loose and move forward into the aircraft and push the aircraft over where they couldn't pull the aircraft out of a dive. Usually, this cargo is secured with a significant tie downs and hooks and straps and lock-ins that it won't move. It just doesn't move. But if the gear is not secured correctly, that gear will slide. And if the aircraft is already a little nose, you'd see the weight and balance a little bit nose heavy already. And depending on how much gas they've burned off, because that's something now they have to plan for. You plan for the full flight as the fuel gets burned off, because the CG is going to change. And what pilots will do, and Jack can explain it even better, is as the airplane, different altitudes and so forth, but as the fuel gets burned off, they have to trim the airplane out a little bit. And it's just basically, it's like keeping the plane level. And they have so much trim that they can play with there, so many inches of trim. And it's done through the flight controls. So when an airplane has got cargo, it just, when it crashes and it nosedives in like this, you just, you know, you almost know more than likely the cargo got loose and rolled forward and they just couldn't pull out. And I can't think of a worse way to go, because if you're in the plane and you know you're going to die, you got time to think about it, because, you know, airplanes don't go from 6,000 feet to augering in instantaneously. You know, it happens pretty fast, but it's you in your mind, you know you're going to die. So not a good way to go. Sprint's 5G service is going to launch in 4 cities this May. And it's going to be Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, and Kansas. Houston, LA, New York, Phoenix, and Washington, D.C. will follow. And then this is follows a report where T-Mobile is saying that they're denying its 5G launch. You know, Sprint, as we said in the previous article, has committed. But what is T-Mobile saying? T-Mobile is putting its 5G effort in the lower 600 megahertz spectrum. This will happen with the Sprint. This question is now, what happened to the Sprint merger? They're denying, they're delaying their rollout. We've always said we'd launch when phones are available, and that will be in H1 and H2. What does that mean? Quarter one, quarter two? I don't know what H1, H2 means. I've never heard of a business quarter laid out that way. but T-Mobile 5G is coming. All right, if you're looking for some portable charger, Aukey has discounted its fast wireless charging pad. You can power up your phone for $10. So that's a pretty good deal. There's a promo code on the website page that I'm going to link you to. Also, there's another review of the XPS 13. And we've seen some good reviews come out on that. I'm a big fan of that laptop series. I've still got my original one. And I think that's it. I think that's all I've got here for you tonight in articles. Let me see if we had any email come in. I don't believe we did. Let me go to the right email page to begin with. That's it. GNC comments folder. Nope, nothing more. All right. I've talked about enough stuff tonight that I should have triggered you to email me your thoughts. Get pretty deep into the show tonight. So hope you do drop me a line. Tell me what you think. Of course, share the show with your friends, family members, people that you know. I tell you to share the GoDaddy promo codes, but also make sure you share the show and help grow the audience as we move forward here. As we're getting down to the end of the month, if you got any friends that need a website, domain name or something, don't forget about sharing the sponsor as well. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. I'll be back with you on Thursday. And trying to be a kind of a laid back type of show. I actually calmed down. I was pretty screaming when I first got onto the podcast tonight. But getting in and doing the grind here and putting out the show had a nice calming effect on me. If that can be believed. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. I really do appreciate you being part of the Ohana. And thanks for staying subscribed. All of you that are insiders that are continuing to contribute to the show, thank you, thank you, thank you for your dedicated monthly contributions to the podcast of $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, and $25 in the occasional independent once-a-year type of donation as well to the PayPal account. I do appreciate those. It does help a lot. And if you're not an insider already, geekinthecentral.com/insider. Go in there and throw me a couple bucks a month. I definitely appreciate it. Everyone, we'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Aloha.